Winter could be tough on your vehicle. Now's the perfect time to get your Chevy ready for that next road trip with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. When it comes to service, no one knows your Chevy better. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment.
All right. WGN Nightside, Mark Harmon with you till 1 in the morning. David Jennings just gave you the news. Look at him. All over that sports. Nationals 4, the Brewers 3. I'm thinking to myself right now, would you rather be the Cubs, who lost 9 in a row, watch the Cardinals win the division, watch the Brewers pass them in the wild card, Joe Maddon got fired, you're out of the playoffs, but you're resting comfortably, like you've already moved along. The Brewers made the playoffs, you're up 3-0 and you lost 4-3 and you lost in the wild card game. Ouch. That sucks, Milwaukee. I'm not sure what's better. Hi, everybody. Good to be with you. Phone number is 312-981-7200. On Twitter, at TheCarm. Instagram, TheCarm23. I love to communicate with you. I would love you to be my Facebook friend, too. Even though I had a very weird experience with Facebook today. Not even a weird experience. It's just a normal experience. You friend me. I get a lot of friend requests, which I'm very flattered by. Yes, 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 yes. If you have a mutual friend to me, I say yes. I friend you and then you write at me instantly. And now you're writing on my wall and you're asking me questions and it's really random stuff. Now, are you a computer bot? I don't know what's going on. Now I got to block you. That happened today. It's a very emotional moment for me, Michael. I thought I had a new friend and then all of a sudden they were just gone. Gone and gone, got to block you. And then you block him and you're worried, like, is this person going to come back and serve some retribution to me? Now you're upset. Now I used to have a friend for 10 seconds. Now I don't have a friend. And now I have somebody who's mad at me. Maybe I shouldn't have made him a friend in the first place. These are tough things.
Who are these mutual friends that you have in common, too? Because I'd be talking to them and being like, who is
this? So you'd call up the mutual friend.
Yeah.
And be like, yo,
maybe
you do you really know John Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you not know John Smith? Because you're mutual friends with John Smith. Should I be friends with John Smith? See, that's too neurotic for me.
Yeah, that you're creating a web of just...
Way too much effort.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much effort. By the way, Michael Heidemann, good to see you. What's the best thing that happened to you today? Best thing that happened? I like to start the show this way. I like hearing good stories. At the end of a day, as we're kind of recapping and we look back at everything that went well, things that could have gone better, best thing that happened to you today?
Yeah, I love your positivity, Mark, and that's why I'm always happy when you're on air.
Oh, thank you.
The best thing that happened with me today, I am playing a show tomorrow at the Uncommon Ground in Lakeview, and I got to play music with my buddy Blake tonight. So playing some songs, I think that'd be the best part of my evening.
You and Blake were rocking it out tonight, and you're going to be at Clark and Grace tomorrow at Uncommon Ground?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, that's a big-time move right there, Michael Heidemann. Congratulations.
Oh, climbing the ladder.
Yeah. Since you mentioned music, I do want to share that one of my favorite artists is going to be at Space in Evanston on Friday night. If you do not have plans on Friday night, unfortunately, I do have plans on Friday night, or fortunately, I'll be sitting in for Justin Kaufman Friday night, 7 to 10, so I cannot go to the show, but you should go see Griffin House Friday night at Space. It's an incredible show.
Griffin House?
Yes. I've had him on the air here. He's a singer, songwriter, kind of in the spirit of Tom Petty, I guess, just to give a slight reference point, not completely accurate, but somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome, and he'll be at Space, and Space is a great venue. So,
I love that. It's one of the coolest places in all of Evanston, Space.
It is, no doubt, no doubt. That and Ryan Field and Welsh Ryan Arena. Go Cats. All right. Michael, why don't you ask me, Carm, what's the best thing that happened to you today?
I was just about to ask you that. Carm, what was the best thing that happened to you today?
Thank you so much for asking. I actually want to boast, because I did a couple of things today that really made me feel good. Number one, I'm in a high-level tennis tournament, and today was the semifinals, and I was able to bring home a victory in convincing fashion in an 8-game pro set, 8-2. So we have moved on to the finals. And I did just get the text. Big text coming in here. Welcome to the finals. Hope you've enjoyed your stay in the tournament. For one of you, it's coming to an end. Oof. All right.
Wow.
Wow, right? Predictably, the top two seeds are facing off Carm and Brady. The winner of the tournament earns a legit prize. I don't know what this legit prize is. I feel like you get a hat or something like that, but I'm excited for the legit prize. For your match, you two have the option of playing a pro set up to 8 or best 2 out of 3 with a match tiebreak. Where's that coming from? Is that you?
That is me. I'm setting the mode.
Oh, you're setting the tennis mode? Okay, I like it. Whatever you decide, make sure you both are on board, and it's determined before the match. I'll let you two take it from here. Wow. I'm in the finals.
That's crazy. Congratulations.
Yeah, the first 3 guys I played could not hit the ball over the net. This has been a low-level tournament.
Wait.
But I've been winning.
What's the age range of this
tournament? They're all of age.
Isn't there a story about where you were playing against a guy in tennis who was drastically over, I guess, your age range?
Yes, Maury, 70 years old. He beat me. You bring this up every time I'm on air here, Michael. I don't need to be reminded about Maury. When I blew out my hamstring chasing a ball down the line and wasn't able to play tennis, I think I played like twice since Maury beat me, and that was all the way back in August.
Is he like in the back of your head when you're going to these tournaments now?
Wake up in the middle of the night and Maury's there.
Just in cold sweats.
Yeah. All right, 2 other things I want to move on that happened today that I want to celebrate. Big day. I don't know if I ever mentioned to you that I'm getting married.
I've heard about it.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
I'm getting married. So it's coming up November the 30th, which I believe is 60 days from now. 60, the big 6-0. So I'm starting to feel a little something in the stomach here and everywhere else. I mean, now we're getting down to business. So I went tonight and I got the suit.
Oh, yeah. You finally got the official suit.
I got the suit. So my guy has landed. He is at a hotel room in beautiful downtown Chicago where he does the suit for you. He's going to ship that thing to me from overseas, but he measured me out today, and the suit is done. And so I get the suit right. I'm feeling all right. I don't know if my lovely bride is going to like it or not, but I got the suit. I made a decision. Great, we're moving forward. And I'm walking, leaving the suit place, coming to WGN. Let's get the prep on. Well, I got to eat something. So I go into Chipotle for a little pregame dinner meal, and I'm getting my burrito bowl. And a gentleman walks in after me, and he says to the Chipotle worker, "What's the cheapest thing I can get?" And they say, "Well, you can get, you want to get like rice and beans?" "Sure. How much is that?" $2. So they give him the rice and beans. Now, I was ahead of him, but somehow it worked out that he was paying in front of me. So he's going through his bag, and he's trying to find his money, and I just said, let me take care of this gentleman as well. And he's like, "Oh, come on, man. You don't need to do that. You've got a family to feed." I'm like, "Nah, I really don't. I'm a single guy. And you're getting the cheapest thing on the menu at Chipotle. It would be my pleasure, my honor to buy your cheapest at Chipotle dinner."
Mm-hmm.
I probably should have said to him, "You want to throw some chicken in there? Feel free. Let's go the whole way here and get the full bowl."
Yeah, extra guac or something.
But I don't want to sound like boastful, trying to be good Samaritan guy on the radio. But when I was walking out of there and going to my car and I'm holding my burrito bowl, and I just had this huge smile on my face, like it was, it felt good. It was $2 to help somebody, and just to do a good Samaritan thing. So, another public service announcement from at the Karm on Twitter and the Karm 23 on Instagram: giving is better than receiving it, most of the time.
It truly is. She helped out a guy, and that will come back to you. I believe in karma in the universe.
It already did. It already did. Walking down the street afterwards, I felt glad that he was having his dinner, and there was no sweat off my back to spend $2, and I just felt I'm like, wow, this is worth way more than $2 that I spent. There's just feeling like, oh, you helped somebody out. And I'm sure he had the money in his bag and he didn't need me to help him, but just it was a nice little moment in the day. So
I like that he was like, "You have a family to feed. How are you going to afford this $2 meal?"
Right.
Who is this Rockefeller?
Well, but he did, it wasn't like he was as, a lot of times if you're giving, "Oh, thanks a lot," like almost like you should be giving me that dollar. But he was like, no, man, you don't need to do that. And I was like, no, it's honestly my pleasure. So that was just, it was a highlight in the day.
He probably thought about that all day, too. That's really nice of you.
Yeah, well, it was like an hour ago, but yes.
Okay.
But this last hour has been blissful. All right. When we come back here, I have a slight question that I want to throw out to you at 312-981-7200 about this suit buying situation that involves my father. So stay tuned for that. That's coming on back here. Fox, for your news at 10, by the way, you should be watching WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist. You know that is that, of course, is Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN. Nightside, Mark Carmen and Lolo Jones coming up after 10:30 on 720. Got a work dilemma that I want to talk about coming up in about 4 minutes. I'm going to call it The Button. The Button coming up in a moment. All right, so I mentioned that I bought my suit for the wedding. And I got three of my friends standing up, and I got my two brothers standing up. So I said to my brothers, hey, you guys want to come with me? Maybe you get yourself a new suit for the old wedding. So I had to twist their arms a little bit to come on and do it, but they did. So then I called out my father. Now my dad's, you know, he's in his 90s. I say, Pops, you want to come on down? We're going to get you a new suit for the wedding. And I don't know if anybody out there has a stubborn parent, but if you do, and I know you love him just like I love my dad, love him to the end of the earth, the greatest, but he can be a tad bit of a stubborn individual every now and then. And he says to me, Mark, I love you, but I don't feel like I need a new suit for your wedding. That just feels like wasting money. I'm going to wear it one time. I'm in my 90s. I'm not going to live another 30 years. Why do I need a new suit? And I'm sitting there like, come on, man. It's the wedding. It's the big day. Let's get you spiffed up. Let's put you in something fresh. Let's make you look super crisp. And I'm not, you know, a materialistic guy by any stretch of any imagination. But, you know, it's the wedding. Let's have them be looking fresh. I don't want to do it. I have no interest. I'll do anything for you, but I'm not doing this. So the quick question is at 312-981-7200. How do you move the stubborn parent, or should I just let it go? Just let it go. Let him wear his suit from 1983 that hasn't probably been cleaned in 10 years, and I just don't... I shouldn't be bothered by it. Maybe I just should not be bothered by it. Let my father wear whatever he wants to wear to my wedding. That's him. I'm just going to be in my thing. You're in your thing. We're all going to have a good time. Let's not be bothered by these things. But I'm like, come on, man. Your son's getting married. Put on the suit. New suit. New look. Fresh. 2019. You're hip. You're the sexiest, craziest 93-year-old man on the planet. Why can't... Let's just lean into that. It's going to be 94 come December. Whole new attitude. I mean, sure, you're not dancing like you were dancing in your 60s, but you're still dancing, right? Why can't you have a good, you know, a little fresh suit? Am I wrong here? 312-981-7200. I think I'm creating a beautiful vision.
I don't think you're too far off.
The game's not over till the game's over, man.
Exactly. Is this his go-to suit? Like, is he wearing every single event?
No, he doesn't wear a lot of suits. You know, he's not, like, you know, conducting business meetings. So he's, you know, he's hanging out. He's living the dream.
It's just sitting in the closet collecting dust over years and years and years.
Right, right. When we had extended family member got married the other day, he put the suit on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you wore that the other day. Now, you know, you could, now you're going to wear the same thing to my wedding? Come on. Let's make it a special thing. I mean, I've waited a whole 46 years to do this. But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, I don't get to tell my dad what to do. He's lived on this earth for 93 years. He gets to make his own decisions. Who are you, Carmen? It's your father. Respect him. These are the things that are going on in my life that I need help with, which I understand is, I'm lucky that this is the problem. And I wouldn't even call it a problem. I would just call it a discussion, if you will. Bob, can you help me out on this? What do you got, Bob?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, what I think is you might as well just let him feel comfortable at your wedding, you know?
Yeah.
He likes the suit and stuff like that, and he's there for you.
Why wouldn't he be comfortable in a new suit, Bob? What about a nice new suit?
I wouldn't even wear a suit myself.
What would you wear, Bob?
I'm just kidding. I mean, I usually don't wear suits. But,
yeah, me neither. I don't wear suits either, Bob. I mean, not that often.
And if my kid wanted me to get a suit, I would probably do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
But he's 98 years old. He's tucking his way. You ain't going to teach him nothing.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Just get that thing cleaned up or make it disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Well said, Bob. I appreciate it. I'm not trying. I am going to teach him nothing. Hey, what are you doing tonight, Bob? Are you working?
I'm driving Lyft, baby.
You're driving the Lyft. There you go. It sounded like you were doing something of the... I thought you were either driving a truck or, the Lyft. There we go. How's business?
Lyft. A little slow tonight, but, you had peaks and valleys. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Lyft better than Uber? Uber better than Lyft?
I don't drive for Uber.
Okay. All right, Bob. Thanks for the call, my friend. appreciate your support.
Question answer.
Hey, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. Let's get a female's perspective here. Judy, welcome to WGN. Go ahead. Judy?
Oh, hi.
Hi, Judy.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
No, you're good, Judy.
Obviously, I'm sorry, but I kind of agree with Bob.
You don't have to apologize, Judy. It's okay. I'm a big boy. I can handle...
You kind of have become my adopted son.
Oh, really?
Oh,
sure. Thanks, Judy.
So that's how old I am. Never mind. But, let him be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right, Judy. You're absolutely right.
Well, you're lucky he's going to be there.
I absolutely am. No
and
question about it.
I have a feeling that Chelsea would agree with me.
I'm not 100% certain, but for the most part, yes. For the most part.
Mama Ju- tell her I said I just thought that's the kind of a woman she is.
Okay. I will tell her that, Judy. Mama Judy, when are we having lunch? You want to get a chicken salad sandwich?
Yeah, anytime. I'd love to. No. Take care of yourself, I hope everything goes wonderful for you.
Thanks so much, Judy.
My
new radio mother, Mama Judy.
Aww.
That's just, I love this station. Mm-hmm. I love you WGN listeners. Everyone's awesome. A special little moment there with Mama Judy. Let's do Nanette real quick. Nanette, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say he's 93. You should let him do what he wants to do.
Right.
But I also think maybe why not just rent him a suit from a tuxedo store.
Yeah, well, I could do that, but that's right. All right. Okay.
Because then you can get the new
but Nanette,
kind of like a new suit. But
let me fight back here, Nanette.
All right.
Don't you think that it is not unreasonable when your last son is getting married and this is a one-time event just to go that extra mile to have the fresh look rather than the 1972 suit? Don't you think that's a reasonable request, Nanette?
Yes, I do, actually. I would prefer, obviously if my father was still around that he would get a new suit. But on the other hand, be thankful that your father is still around to see you get married.
Absolutely.
And my grandmother was 99 when she passed away.
Aww.
And she would not have gotten a new dress, so to speak. But I don't know. I think renting them a suit he may go for.
He's not going for that.
He's not going for that.
A big fat no, Nanette, I promise you. Thanks for the call, okay? Thanks.
Sure, thanks.
You got it. 312-981-7200. If you're just joining 720 WGN, I got the wedding 60 days away. I was trying to get my dad to get a new suit for the wedding. He's like, nah. I got my suit. Mm-hmm. It's a black suit. You want me wearing black? I don't need a new suit. Why would I waste that money? And, my dad, he's done okay for himself. He could afford it. It's not like he couldn't. I'm not asking him to spend his last, 3 cents on this suit.
Yeah.
I'll make sure, he's not the wealthiest man on the planet either, but he could afford to do it. He's just choosing to not do it.
You should be lucky that he's not one of those dads that's like, you know what, son, I'm going to bring out my Crocs and my tank top that I've been loving, and that's all I'm going to wear. I got a trucker hat that I just polished up for your wedding.
And that's cool too, by the way. I love a good Croc and a Zuba Panther. Do they still wear those?
Zuba.
Remember Zubas?
I can't.
The comfy pants with, like, you know, come on.
Okay. Really? We're gonna get some calls on.
Are those the MC Hammer pants?
Yeah, those. I don't know if they are the MC Hammer pants. Getting a ton of texts on this. I'll check out the text line after the news here coming up at 10:30. Let me just slip in a couple more here. Frank in Highland. What's up, Frank? Welcome to WGN.
Yeah. Oh, Frank. It's from Highland Park, by the way.
Okay, Frank.
So I'm a 76-year-old father, too, and I can sympathize with your dad. How about a compromise? Buy him a beautiful new white shirt and a tie that'll be a knockout, and get the suit cleaned, and he'll look like a new guy.
Like it. Not bad, Frank. Good call.
Okay, bye.
We got the echo going on with you, so I got to let you go. But that's not bad. Just go out. But then I see, I want to get him, you know, I don't know what size. And why are you buying me a new why are you buying me a new shirt? I don't need a new shirt.
And you got a guy already.
Take him out for a drive and just end up at a clothing store.
Yeah, let's just go in here. I mean, his shoe, like the shoes, too. You know, people are going to be spiffed up for this thing. You know, we're going big time here. It's a Saturday night wedding.
Your dad's not a spiffed up kind of guy. He's kind of laid back and set in his ways, sort of.
You're getting the picture here, David Jennings.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. News in 1 minute. Last one. Chris in Chicago. Go ahead. Chris, you there?
I am here. I think you should take him to Gibson's for lunch.
Gibson's for lunch.
A nice cocktail.
Uh-huh.
And then go outfit him with a new suit and shoes and a shirt.
But he doesn't want to do it, Chris. He would go for the Gibson's. He'd love to have a Manhattan at Gibson's, have a little steak. Absolutely, he'd do that. But if I told him we're going to get the shirt and whatnot, he'd start walking the other way. I mean, I could try, but it's going to be that will not be a friendly conversation, I promise you.
After the drinks.
I agree. And also, I think that it won't matter if you kind of gently push him.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But he cannot wear that suit.
He cannot wear that suit, right?
I am 100% on that.
Thank you, Chris. All right, so you're with me. I appreciate that. Thank you for the call. All right. I think I feel, at least I feel better that I just got it off my chest. I love everyone's thank you for helping me. Seemed like Jennings was complaining about the weather. Somebody else did that today, too. It's so hot outside. Hey!
I wasn't complaining. I'm just making the observation that it is still sticky. That's all.
Did you hear that, Michael Heidemann? It sounded like he was complaining, didn't it?
The word of the day was sticky.
Sticky.
That made it a little
sticky
bit.
82.
Mm-hmm.
That was a straight complaint.
No, it wasn't. Not at all.
All right, bye.
I would love to have this weather right through at Thanksgiving.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd be happy.
Okay, that's all I'm... That's
shorts in November and not have to wear a parka at the same time.
Right.
Hey.
Give me the sticky.
Gimme. I'm good to go.
So what you're saying is that sticky is actually a positive word. Okay, I got you. I feel you.
That way when I get home, I turn on the air conditioning and it's not sticky anymore.
See, that's another thing. That's another little beef that I have going on right now. I'm still battling out with the air conditioning. I don't know how you people sleep with... in freezing cold rooms with air conditioning blowing on you and don't
quite
get pneumonia.
Well, thank you very much.
No.
I forgot about this, Mark.
I need straight. I need normal airflow, even if unless it's 100 degrees, which the sticky 82 is not.
You are so incredibly picky.
No, I'm not. I'm an au naturel in my nighttime. I like things as they are. If it's winter time, if it's cold, then great. I'll snuggle in. I'm not going to turn the heat up to 80. I'll deal with that. If it's summertime, I'm not going to make myself go into the freezer.
I can set the thermostat at 70 and be quite happy. The winter, 68,
okay.
66.
Okay.
Do you sleep with a blanket, Mark?
I have a blankie, yes.
Does it just cover your feet?
I don't resort to the blankie until it gets, you know, 20s.
I got a nice blankie. I got a stuffed animal. We're living the dream. Okay, let me talk about this, the button issue at work in a second. But a couple texts on my father. You guys are great. 312-981-7200. I'm getting married in 60 days. I tried to get my dad to get a new suit. He said, why do I need a new suit? And I said, because it's my wedding. He said, nah, I don't need a new suit. I have a perfectly fine suit. What did he wear to your siblings' weddings? The same suit? Probably so. I mean, my brother has been married for 15 plus years. I don't know. You know Fred is going to call right from squad. I hope he does call, but I don't think he's listening because I think he would have already called at this point. So perhaps he's taking the night off of WGN, which is too bad, really. I'd love to hear from my dad this evening. My favorite guy ever whenever he calls, even when he doesn't call. My Graham and Grant married in 1915. He was buried in that suit in 1969. That is funny from the 219. And that's beautiful, absolutely positively beautiful that he kept the suit, and that's love right there, and maybe I'll do the same thing. Let's see here. Comfort would be a big concern at your dad's age. He knows it'll be a long day, and he wants to be in a familiar suit. Okay. All right, 847, I got you. Let's see what the 224 says, this, which you're enjoying the conversation. 224, this is hilarious. It is hilarious. You got to laugh at it, right? Why not? Convince dad you got a great deal or won the lottery to cover for the suit. That's not bad. But even if I did win the lottery, the way my father thinks, put the money towards something else. Give it. Donate it to charity. I don't need a suit. It really has absolutely nothing to do with the money. Mm-hmm. It's more the logic of the fact that he doesn't think he needs it. Mm. The cash is just not, it's not even relevant. It's not unreasonable from the 773, but don't push. Enjoy the day and having your dad there. And a ton of people are texting and saying, just be thankful that your dad's going to be at your wedding. I am. Extremely. Believe me. I get it. But yeah. I'm also raising the bar, and let's go for a little bit more.
Is the thought of the photos being with you for a lifetime?
That's another thing. It's the photos mm-hmm. for a lifetime, right? Yeah. I want you looking spiffy. These are the photos that we're going to have.
You don't want like blue plaid from the 60s.
Right. Come on, man. These are the pictures.
Step it up.
I'm going to have this on my, desk, whatever, for
all eternity.
For all eternity.
I mean, who knows? Like, you could probably get like the photo tattooed on your back if you want. Maybe a listener can.
Right. Right. All that's on the table. Let's see here. Can't your father rent a suit? He does not want to do that. Okay. Real fast. Last one on this. I want to get to the button. Taxi driver Bob. Long time no talk, taxi driver. What's up, man?
A couple of questions.
Yeah.
One, who's going to be your best man at the wedding? And then two, it's kind of a combo question. Is Dave Kaplan going to be invited? And did Dave Kaplan get you into, like... sports radio at WGN, because
why is Dave Kaplan so much on your mind? First of all, it's David Kaplan. If he's listening, he'd be offended by that.
I grew up with David Kaplan,
okay.
So
okay.
I know David Kaplan. I knew his father was my first Little League coach.
Oh, really? There you go.
Yeah, I grew up with David Kaplan. And
Marshall,
man,
right?
Valley Baseball League.
Marshall Kaplan, I believe. Is that right? Isn't that
I'm not sure. I just called him Mr. Kaplan.
Well,
he was very patient. I was horrible my first year of baseball. And he kept on plugging me in there, even though it was horrible. Second year, I came around.
That's a good memory. All right, taxi driver.
I'm going to put a long ball out there. So you can answer those questions?
Yes,
or what?
Yes, I'm going to answer those questions, taxi driver. I appreciate the phone call. Here, the answers are this. As far as the best man, that is actually, taxi driver, you want to be my best man, brother? I'm not exactly sure who's going to be the best man. Are you available?
Yeah, right. But, if Harry isn't, he's going to have a conflict.
Right,
you know,
right. All right, I appreciate it. No, I've got my brothers. I'm going to best man. They're going to be my two brothers. That's what I'm doing there. And as far as Cap's concerned, he hired me to be his producer at WGN, or he had a very large say in it, back in 2007. So basically the answer to your question is yes. Nobody in media has had more impact on my career than at the Catman on Twitter. So there you go, taxi driver Bob. That is the honest answer. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about... I'm hoping that somebody will be able to relate to what I'm about to explain. So when I walk into work at the amazing fansided.com, the process is you go to the door downstairs. You use your key card. It gets you in the door downstairs. Then you ride up in the elevator. All right? Now you've ridden up in the elevator. Now you get to these two glass doors. And you can go into your wallet or whatever you're carrying and get your a different key card that'll allow you into the building. That's the way in. Or there happens to be a receptionist that is sitting right there. So inevitably, I ride the elevator up, I get off the elevator, and maybe I'm drinking my coffee, or maybe I'm texting on my phone, or whatever I'm doing, and then I get to the door, I'm like, oh, now I got to go into the wallet, now I got to find the actual key card. My wallet's always jumbled around. There's my credit card, there's the gym thing, there's the this. Okay, now I found it, and now I've hit the thing. And meanwhile, while I'm doing all this, the reception is just staring at me. And there's a button right there. All you got to do is hit the button to open the door to gain entry into the appointment. And so now you don't hit the button. We do this 5 times a day. You know, go out to lunch, go get coffee. Same thing. Looks at me, stares at me, doesn't hit the button. And then I find my card and get in. And then it's really awkward because I'm supposed to say, hi, how are you? When I really want to say, can you just hit the button? It's like a Seinfeld episode, man. I don't know what to do with this.
Do they have a personal vendetta against you or something?
I don't think it's just me.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, does anybody else have a situation like this in their work where you're, you know, when you come into WGN, there's no one at the door. Mm-hmm. You let yourself in. But in this particular situation, they're right there staring at me,
mm-hmm.
and won't open the door. So I don't know if it's, would it be appropriate for me, have I done something to offend you? do you have a beef with me that I am unaware of? Because I think I'm a very friendly, how are you? Almost like I'm bringing you flowers every day. How I walk in, I'm always in a good mood. I'm happy to be at work. I'm a jolly fellow, but you won't. It's like the least amount of effort you could possibly make ever. Just to press the button. Press the button. And
has it been the same person?
Yes.
The entire, okay. Yes. That's confusing now. Now go back in there's your
no
memories.
There's no confusion as to whether or not I should be getting access. There's not a lot of people working in the office. There's maybe, I don't know, 20 of us tops.
Yeah, it's a popular website startup kind of feel.
Right.
Sports.
Right. Most people
content
are working from,
creation machine.
Right. Most people work from home. They're all across the country. There's a handful of people that are in the office, mainly the video team. Hit the button.
And there is a button, and you know you just buzz it and it opens on up.
Yeah, you hit the button, ding, and now doors open and
you got a
good morning.
You got a recognizable face too.
Should I 312-981-7200. I want advice on whether I should cause a ruckus. Like, what happens if I just went all Larry David / Jerry Seinfeld and walked up and just like laid, you know, went up to the desk and just kind of put my arm down and just kind of, is there something going on here? Maybe I should bring flowers. Perhaps a bagel, perhaps a coffee, maybe a donut. Maybe I shouldn't be bothered by this as well. But that's just an unpleasant way to start the day, man.
Yeah.
I was just riding up the elevator. I'm all good. I'm in my rhythm. Let's go. Let's get creative. Let's have some interesting forward-thinking thought that people are going to love and everyone's going to watch that video. Now I'm in the headspace of, I can't believe you did not open the door for the zillionth time. I think everybody wants to have their, like, I think it's a power thing. You have your power. This is your little way to keep calm down.
Does this happen to other people in the office or just calm?
So that's the other thing. I was walking around the office. Do you get the button pushed for you?
Yeah.
Do you have a button pushed for you? Nobody gets the button pushed. It's unless they're lying to me, which is possible.
Okay.
But the button push, man. Give me just a little bit, where's the love?
It's
got to be personal, right? I think it's personal.
Can you think back if there's anything that was said? Like, is it just a stone face? Is it a smile?
Won't. Like, if there's an accident, that's great. If there is an accidental meeting of the eyes. If there is an eye contact moment, yeah, then it's like straight back down. Like, like she didn't see me at all. Just, and I'm like, maybe I should just stand there and just fold up the arms and be like, and just, are you going to, we are going to, I need a negotiation, man. This will not stand. We're going to have to make a move.
What would you say to the person if you did like need to?
I would really appreciate it if I'm fumbling for my key card. If you could just, you know, hit the button. Who has this in their life? Just hit the button. Give me a button push. One time. How about a good morning? I'm not even asking for a good morning. One little button. How are you? Have a nice day. Don't even say anything. All right, quick timeout. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Take the high road, buy her Garrett's popcorn, and agree that when you give her the nod, she pushes the button. Done. Thank you, 708. My name is Mark Harmon. This is 720 WGN. When I go to my job at Fanside, there's a receptionist who looks at me and does not let me in, and she's got a button that would open the door, and I'm always like fumbling through my wallet trying to find the key card, and I just want her to hit the button. I think Squat, who's calling in right now, I think you're saying what a lot of people are saying. Go ahead, Squat. Bring it to
hey,
WGN.
Mark,
yes.
Nuptials.
Thank you, Squat.
I just think that it might be a situation where you're 48 and you still got to get out your ID to buy liquor, you know? She doesn't want to be liable.
Be liable? Like I... No. Liable like for... Liable what, Squat?
You're going to kill somebody someday, buddy. I know you.
Come on, hey, Squat. I'm not that... I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I know you are. But, hey, first of all, you got to talk to somebody... a fellow employee to see if they get the same reaction.
Squat,
you never know. She might just want to. She's not even cordial.
Nah, she's cordial. I wouldn't say she's uncordial. But I mean,
I wouldn't ask her. I'd ask a fellow employee because you never know. You might leave there one. You know, you might end up getting kicked out of there. She'll probably be yell Cartwright next.
Squat, you text a lot, but you never call. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Hey, thanks. Did Fred call yet?
No, he hasn't called. We'll see if he comes on in here at some point, all right?
Well, just remember.
Yeah.
You can't stop, Fred. You can only hope to contain him.
You're exactly right, Squat. I agree. Thanks.
I love you.
Good, brother. Good to hear your voice. 312-981-7200. People are texting in. It's likely a security issue from the 847. They want a record of who's coming in and when via your key card. No. This is not a security issue. No, I don't believe that. It's not like it's not a front desk of a high-rise.
It's not the Alamo, is what you're saying.
No. This is a 7-floor chill building. I don't think there's some security dude hanging out in some closet somewhere who's monitoring if there's being a button pushed on and suite whatever on the 7th floor. No chance. This is a power play, and I am being punked, and it is personal. And I have no recourse whatsoever and probably just need to let it go. Thank you.
No, it's painful. I kind of have a similar story, actually. I have a door guy. I live in a high-rise building in Chicago. And the rotating door guys. And every single time that I speak to them and I see them, I'm always cordial as you are. I say, hey, what's going on? And then there's one guy because I go home late at night. So the overnight guy, he's always asleep. Always.
Oh, I love that.
And I walk in, I spin open the doors, and every single night he jumps up and gets scared by the rotating doors. And then he's like coming out of his sleep and he's like, hey man, hey. And it turns into like a 4-minute conversation because now
what?
I gotta wake him up from his sleep. And I just want to be let in my apartment.
Okay, now that's weird.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, do we live in the same building? Because my overnight gentleman, a lot of times he's taking a nice snooze, but I respect it. Like, look,
oh, yeah.
You're sitting there. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Take a nap. You don't need to open the door for me. I'm good. But Yeah, this guy doesn't want to talk, so it's not the same. We don't live in the same building. I love this text from the 630. Why is it her responsibility for you to be more organized? You're 48 years old. I'm 46, ma'am. Have your key card ready if you need it every day to get into work. You're absolutely right. I should be more organized. It should be in the same spot in my wallet every day. You are correct, 630. However, all you had to do is push the button.
Really good point. Do you have a, can you put the wallet up to the key card in your, and will
no,
it see it through? Oh,
no,
so you got to take it out.
That'll be taken out.
That's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Come on, respect the time it takes to do that.
Yeah.
Especially if she knows you. Is she the CEO of the company? Maybe she's just messing with you. I don't know. So many questions.
Yeah. I don't know. Could be a whole situation here. All right. Well, let's see here. We got a whole new news process coming up here at the top of the hour. This is the first time that I get to try to hit the jingle. So I'm excited about that. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to play my interview with Lolo Jones. Now, Lolo Jones is 37 years old. She's been an Olympic athlete in the bobsled, and she's been an Olympic athlete in track and field. And she was a multiple championship winner at LSU. And Lolo, I think objectively speaking, is an incredibly attractive woman.
Yes, she is.
Who is, right? You agree with that, right?
Yes, 5'9", tall, blonde.
Yeah, athletic, very strong, in shape, fun too. I think you'll see in the Lolo conversation that she is a very spunky Lolo. Now she is waiting for marriage to have her first sexual experience. She is holding out for the right man to come along, and then she will decide that, you know what, now I am ready to partake in sexual intercourse. And I just find, so, and she is openly talks about on her Instagram and her Twitter about dating. She went out with Blake Griffin of the Los Angeles Clippers. Blake Griffin. That's, you know, if you're a sports fan, you know who Blake Griffin is. And if you're not, well, he's a very prominent athlete.
And a very handsome man, too.
Handsome, good-looking dude. She went out with Blake Griffin. Apparently the date didn't go great, or at least it went somewhat great, but not all the way great. They didn't end up going much further, but then she starts writing on social media that Blake Griffin is a terrible kisser.
Oh, throwing shade.
She threw shade at Blake Griffin, which I don't know if that's really very mature. I mean, what is this, seventh grade? He's a bad kisser. But I do think it's interesting that, yes, she is waiting for marriage, but she is going on dates, and she is willing to make out, which is always a great way for a date to end, right?
Yeah. I mean, it would be weird if she went her whole life and didn't even get to kiss somebody.
Right.
There's many people who do that, and it's admirable. I mean, if you can have that kind of willpower, no wonder she's an Olympic athlete. That's just hyper-focused.
Which is this, that's the other thing. She said that the hardest thing that I have ever done in my life is sticking to my promise to myself that I will wait until marriage. So she grew up in Iowa. Her parents had no money. I believe they were divorced. They were living in the basement of a church. She did not have money for shoes. They were gifted to her, her track shoes, and that's where she started to somehow to get the love for track. She was gifted these shoes. So she's had like a really, really challenging upbringing to get to where she's gotten to in life. And normally in that situation, I don't know, you're probably not making the decisions that Lolo's making.
Mm-mm, it's easy to go askew of
right?
what you should be doing.
I mean, exactly. You're probably doing those things at a much younger age. Perhaps, you know, when you're in that type of spot, maybe you're looking for love in the wrong places at a very early age. But that wasn't her. And so She rose herself up. She gets to prom. It's a lot of people don't like Lolo. I find her incredibly likable. And I think I formed a little bit of a bond with her. So, I mean, once you hear the interview, you know, coming up after the news here, if you want to go out with Lolo, I think that I might be able to make the connection. I mean, her PR team, we were trading back emails back and forth. They loved the conversation, the whole thing. So, I don't know. Michael Heidemann, maybe you're interested. Are you interested in Michael Heidemann?
You know, she's... Well, she's
a little older for you?
A little bit older than me, okay. But she's gorgeous. She looks like she takes care of herself, and that's all
great. True.
Maybe we should open up the phone lines.
Well, we'll play the interview coming up after the 11 o'clock news, which is coming up here in 10 seconds. 720 WGN, 1105. Hope you had a great Tuesday evening. Mark Herman with you till 1 o'clock tonight. Great to be here. Michael Heidemann producing, Vic Vaughn in the newsroom. As we take you into the late night here, let's bring in Lolo Jones, 37 years old, one of the greatest athletes in the world. Lolo, as we bring you in here, is that too tall of an order? I mean, you're 37 years old, but I don't know anybody who's playing two Olympic sports like you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You didn't have to mention my age, though, but come on.
Well, it's you know, we did get a little bit of a bio for this interview, and it says, at the age of 37, so I feel like you want that out there. That look at how great you look at 37.
Yeah, whoever added that, they should have edited that out, because my Tinder says I'm 27, so.
How's Tinder going these days? What's the experience like? Have you been on a date recently?
I was on a date. It was the best date in my life, and then I still got ghosted out. So,
really, he ghosted you?
Well, no, we like kind of talked, but then it was just like it was too much for him, and his like he wasn't prepared for what it takes to have a relationship. I don't know, some BS answer.
why do guys do this ghosting thing? Why don't they just handle it like a man, right, Lolo? You're a great person, but I don't think it's going to go any further. I wish you the best. Something like that.
I don't understand, because as an athlete, I deal with criticism every day. Like, I go to practice and my coach tells me 100 things I'm doing wrong and nothing right. So if a guy would just be like, okay, I don't think our humors line up, I don't think our whatever, I don't think this is going to go, or I'm just too busy, I would take that with like a grain of salt. I'm like, all right, cool, I wish you the best. But when like they ghost out, it's just like, then you gotta, like, you know, get all crazy on them and put them on blast on social media.
What would you say the Lolo Jones criteria is for a man? What are you looking for?
Well, humor is big for me. Like, I really just, at the end of the day, I want to be hanging out with my best friend and laughing. And I find it really hard nowadays to find that in a guy. And also, because I am an athlete, I'm used to like taking control and taking things into my own hand. And I think sometimes that's very intimidating for a guy. So
it is.
Finding the balance would be nice.
Yeah, well, it takes a very confident guy to handle that, Lolo. I gotta let you know that. I'm sure you know that as well. Does he need to be an athlete? Does he have to have some skills?
No, that's one of the most annoying questions I get asked on Instagram all the time. The guys are always DMing me, well, maybe if you give us regular guys a chance. And I'm like, you guys don't know who I'm dating. You don't know. Like, I've gone on tons of dates with guys who have just normal jobs, 8 to 5. But for some reason on social media, they just assume I'm only going out with these celebs or this and that. And it's quite frustrating, because I'm not looking for, oh, he must have X amount of social media followers, he must be famous. Like, at the end of the day, like I said, I just want to laugh. And it's really hard to find someone who can, like, you know, bounce my humor. And, you know, I'm a Kevin Hart. Can you be a David Chappelle to me?
So let me just make sure here. You're not looking to create the next great Olympic athlete someday down the line here?
Okay, so one of my dating bios does say, it says something along the lines like, I can give you future Peyton Manning kids. Okay, it does say something like that. But that's not saying I need another. I feel like I'm such a stud that I, even if you're not athletic, I can help you and your future kids.
Yeah, see, because Lolo, I'm engaged, getting married sooner, but I would like check out wingspans and whatnot. And, you know, I'm 5'10 and a recreational athlete. But, I was looking for somebody who could, you know, perhaps do exactly what you're offering. So, I mean, I think that's a great selling point.
Yeah, I felt like that was a good, like, you know, one-liner to have under your bio.
How's the patience level with these men? I feel like it's getting a little bit low.
The what?
How's your patience level? Is Lolo getting close to settling, I guess, is the question.
I mean, I'm really trying to. It's just, it's hard in these streets. Like, the single life is just not, it's never been for me. I'm the type of person that wanted to be married in their 20s, and I can't believe that I'm still not married. But it's, I'm also not willing to sacrifice on a lot of the things that I'm kind of looking for in a partner. And with my schedule, it's easier for me to not just be so focused on it because I am quite busy. And so I think if I was just sitting at home, I would probably be desperately like, oh my gosh, freaking out. But I stay quite busy and active with, you know, training for 2 Olympics.
Right. So that, I mean, you hear that, men out there, that listen, you got to be able to be flexible with Lolo's schedule. She's not going to be available 24/7 for you. But when she is available, I mean, I look at you, Lolo, like you're a great piece of chocolate. You're not like this huge Snickers bar, but you're like this really great morsel that you get to, you know, have dinner with when you have time, right? What do you think of that?
I do have time for dates, and my schedule is strenuous, but not that. I mean, I have time for dates. Trust me. There was only one year I was in New York and I had limited time, and I actually had 2 dates back to back. And one of the dates had actually, he came early, and so he actually ran into the other date. It was a nightmare, but yeah, that's the only time that ever happened in my life.
Two dates in one night. You're trying to make the most use of your time. Who's going to get a date two here? That was good planning. He shouldn't have been early and respected your time. That's a bad move by him.
Yeah. So it's just this whole conversation is making me feel like a player, but I'm not.
Well, maybe a little. What's going on with training? How are we feeling looking ahead to 2020?
Training is tough, man. Like, I mean, we talk a lot about my age. I mean, I am competing against girls that are 10 years younger than me. I mean, I'm feeling the aches and pains of basically all the times I've been crashing a bobsled at 90 miles an hour, every hurdle hit I've had. So it's built up. But like, what's great about it is the fact that I'm super strong and determined to just finish out my goals. And so I don't know. It's like they say athletes always age in dog years, and that's so true.
Where do you think the drive comes from? You know, your past has been well documented. You didn't have any money as a kid, but you had this dream, and the drive's still coming now. I mean, some people, you know, once they get there, they kind of, you know, maybe want to take a foot off the gas pedal, but that's not you at all.
No, I mean, I think a lot of my drive came in the fact that I mean, if people know anything about my Olympic journey, that I've come so close to a medal so many times that I can honestly taste it. And so I think the fact my drive comes from just picking yourself up after defeat or failure. I think a lot of times people look to Olympic athletes for inspiration when they win. But a lot of times people can be inspired just by like taking another step, trying again, not giving up on your dreams. And so that's where I hope to like bring an inspiration to people.
Not how many times you fall down, it's how quickly you get back up. Right, Lolo?
Right. Fall 7 times, get up 8.
That's right. Exactly right.
We're losing a little bit of the audio there, so let me take a quick time out here coming up. But I would like to hear from somebody if indeed you think you are a candidate to date an Olympic athlete who's 37 years old, incredibly attractive, and very much available. You heard the criteria there. She doesn't need, you know, she'd love to create another Olympic athlete, but she doesn't need you to be a superstar. Lolo Jones is available. We here at WGN, me specifically, Mark Carmen, would like to help you. Let's see if we can make this happen. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Couple things on the table here as we kind of recoup from the Lolo Jones interview. 37 years old, virgin, available. Looking for somebody who'd like to date Lolo, 312-981-7200. I'd also like to throw out this topic to you. And you can share yourself by not using your actual name if you like. But in the spirit of Lolo, who is going to have her first time at some point here, I am curious, as you think back on your life, where was your first time? Where did it happen? What do you remember? Because Lolo's going to have her first time. Maybe it was memorable for you, your first time. Lola wants to have a very memorable first time. Maybe we can find the person for her this evening. Brendan, you want to date Lolo?
Heck yeah. She's beautiful and awesome in every way. I've watched Lolo for years. Like, man, I can't believe she's single.
What do you have to offer, Brendan?
Oh, boy. Well, I was a runner.
Uh-huh.
Not even remotely close to what she is. And I was more of a distance runner. The shortest race I ran was a 1500. So them sprinters always got all the glory. But, you know, we're the ones that put all the work in, mile after mile. But never mind. That's fine. I'm probably more funny than I am a runner.
How old are you, Brendan?
I'm 42.
42. That's in the range. 40. Have you ever been married?
I have been married, yes.
Okay, that's all right. Do you have kids? Are you a dad, Brendan?
I do have kids.
How many kids, Brendan?
I am a dad. I have two children of my own, and I have an adopted daughter from my first wife who's
fantastic. Wow. Okay, so a legit parent of elite level. Are you employed?
I'm in the trenches. I own my own company.
You own your own company.
Yes.
What's the company, Brendan?
The company, shameless plug, is Blue Sky Blinds. I do custom window coverings and do like design consultations and make people's nice homes look nicer.
That business is never going away.
I hope not. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure Lolo's got plenty of endorsements and, you know, whatever. So she's probably not looking for somebody to, like, you know, take care of her or anything. But I can take care of myself and all my beats. So that is important.
All right, Brendan, your last 10 seconds there. Is there anything you want to say specifically to Lolo as we send her the tape, if she's listening?
Oh, just that I think she's amazing. You know, I love her charity work. I think she's got a great heart. I've listened to her interviews before, and you know, who knows? She seems like a lovely lady that has all kinds of good things going for her. So why wouldn't I want to at least go on a date with her?
All right, Brendan, strong candidate to start her. Thank you for calling.
All right, see ya.
312-981-7200. Olympic athlete Lolo Jones looking for a husband, willing to go out seemingly with anyone. Got to beat Brendan. Derek, welcome to WGN. Do you want to go out with Lolo?
Love to.
Give me your background here, Derek.
Professional bowler, Olympic medal winner, Hall of Fame bowling career, motivational speaker, crime fighter in the public school industry.
Wait, hold up. You're an Olympic athlete in bowling?
Yes, sir. Won an Olympic medal in 1993 at the San Antonio Summerfest, I guess you would call it, in bowling. I'm from Chicago, born and raised here. I'm 59.
Derek, what's your last name?
Banks.
Derek.
I won the Hardy's Deluxe American Dream Classic in 1990 in Las Vegas for $132,000. I've won over 100.
You're in the Black Bowlers Hall of Fame?
I'm in the USB Chicago USBC Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I mean, they do have me in the Black Bowlers Hall of Fame, too.
This is amazing. The bowl, you know that you're very Googleable here.
Oh, yeah.
You have 36 300 games, Derek?
Yes, sir. 37. I recently shot another one.
And you're single, Derek?
Yes, sir.
But you're 59, right?
59 years young. I'm an athlete.
I love that, Derek. That's right.
And if I come hang out with you, you're going to say, there's no way you're 59. I'm going to say, nobody knows. Because I'm a young man. I'm not an old man.
Age is just a number, right, Derek?
Well, if you keep your mind right, you can stay young forever.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel you. So give me your pitch for Lolo.
Lunch would be a wonderful time for us. Stars hanging out together. Stars need to be together.
Oh, I like it. This is strong. I think you're a little... The age thing is going to be a hurdle here now. You got 22 years on her, so that's going to be... When she asks you... I don't know if I see myself with a 59-year-old. What will you say? Losing you, but I actually know exactly what you're going to say, Derek. That's not bad. It's all upstairs. Age is just a number.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. 312-981-7200. Do you want to go out with Lolo Jones? I mean, I think I'm creating an incredible opportunity. We have two very interesting candidates right now. Everybody else is a little bit shy out there.
Well, yeah, after going up against Derek Steinbank's 36,300 games, a Hall of Famer bowler. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
That was that and who was our first gentleman's name?
The first guy
owns his own business, two kids plus an adopted kid.
He's an athlete.
Mm-hmm. He seemed like a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised nobody's jumping in with where their first time was. Nobody wants to talk about that, huh? Because, like, if you're Lolo, you got your first time right in front of you. With your special guy and your special moment. Our guy Derek, 59 years old. Our guy Brendan. I mean, this could be, you know, this could be the situation. I think we're, you know, there's possibilities here. A lot of possibilities. I know it's a little bit nerve-wracking. You know, if it's me, and you're dealing with a Olympic athlete who can run faster than you, jump higher than you, probably lifts more weight than you can lift, has shown a greater ability to overcome adversity than you. That's a lot to compete with in who you're dating. I mean, she needs a very confident guy.
Yeah, that sticks out. During the interview, she sounded just so confident.
Right, and she's got a very busy schedule. She's here, she's there, and you also know that guys wherever she's at are, you know, they're trying to talk to Lolo. So it really does take somebody with a good, decent backbone. But that's how it is for any amazing woman, right? I can hear you out there. I know what you're saying. Yeah, Carm. Of course. You think I was worried about other guys when I met my beautiful wife? No, I wasn't. I knew that she was going to be sought after by the rest of the dudes out there, but I was the catch. And I knew that she would never, ever look another way because it was me. I'm speaking for you right now. I'm always worried that Chelsea's got her eyes elsewhere.
It was meant to be.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's wild. I went. You know, it's funny that she went through that because when I was growing up, I was in a lot of theater groups and a lot of Christian groups I grew up around, living in a small town of McHenry and Crystal Lake. And we had this one family that had promise rings. Much like the Jonas Brothers, you know, where you are giving your heart to the Lord and you won't kiss anybody until you're married.
Oh, okay.
And it was this group of girls. They were named the Barlow Girls. I mean, they're an amazing, awesome family, wonderful people. And they had songs written about them. They became a big thing and ended up being a band that toured around the world promoting abstinence.
Aw.
Yeah. They're one of the biggest Christian rock groups of all time. Barlow Girls.
To each his own.
Yeah. I mean,
hey,
it's a path.
Absolutely. And you, Michael Heideman, you have a lot of different experiences. Where'd you grow up again?
Well, I grew up in McHenry County, but I've lived a lot of different places.
Right.
As you can say.
Southern Utah University.
Southern Utah, LA. I lived there for a little bit.
Right.
Chicago.
Right, right, right.
Tinley Park for a month.
I mean, you took yourself out of the Lolo running, but I think you're actually somebody of interest for Lolo. You're a little young. You're a little young, but you have sort of that little bit of the out there Heideman thing going on, and I think Lolo's got that too. And you're an easygoing guy. You wouldn't be overly impressed by her athletic talents. I mean, you'd put her on a pedestal to a point, but not over the top.
Could you imagine that run? Because I like to run, and going on that first run by the lake
with Lolo
Jones.
Let's go for a run. She'd be totally into it. There's no doubt about it. I'm a little disappointed that we've only gotten two candidates, but I think our two candidates are excellent.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, Brendan. Good luck to you, Derek. We will be sending this tape to the Lolo Jones Foundation, if you will. The foundation for finding the best man to go with Lolo in her quest to... Her Twitter bio says she's trying to break the 40-year-old virgin. She wants to get to 41. So that might not be great for Derek or Brendan, but she might just lose out on that. She seems hungry to me. Very thirsty, I think is the word that the kids use today. Let's take a 1-minute timeout. We'll get you into news coming up here. And then after 11, no break. Okay. So let me tell you what's coming up then after 11:30. There was a crazy, crazy scene at O'Hare Airport today that I think we need to unpack. How in the world?
I saw this. This is amazing.
How in the world do we go about our lives where there can be a machine completely out of control, spinning around in circles, and then you can have a circle of people who are just staring at this thing as it's about to crash into an airplane or crash into them? So we have audio from the event. I know that it made the rounds all over social media today. I think it's been viewed 20 million times, so most likely I'm thinking that you've seen it. But it was a beverage cart gone crazy. And what was that movie back in the day? Short Circuit, mm-hmm. with the robots.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like to me.
The robots are taking control.
This robot beverage car was taking control. Man, it was taking over. And then out of nowhere, basically the Superman of robots came and saved the day. And was able to take out the refrigerator thing. You know, robots are going to be taken over, man. This is what we're going to have to deal with. Your Uber is going to be, you know, Jim and Bob and Sam and Susie and Lauren. In about, I don't know, 5 years, they're not going to be driving your Uber. Ain't going to be anybody in there. Door's just going to open. You're going to get in and things are going to start going. You won't be able to have a conversation anymore. But then all of a sudden, one of these things is going to malfunction. You're going to be spinning around in the middle of Lakeshore Drive. And somebody's going to have to come to the rescue. The future was on display today at O'Hare. 720 WGN with you to 1 o'clock tonight. Mark Harmon on the night side. Good to be along with you. A couple of things breaking in the world of news and sports and entertainment tonight. I'm just checking out Twitter here during the break. People are just really trying to stamp it in the baseball world that, see, the one-game wild card is awesome. Nationals and Brewers, amazing game. Brewers up 3-0. The Nationals come back and win it 4-3. Milwaukee's out. Washington moves on. They're going to face the... Who is the Nationals playing? I believe that. So they're going to face the Dodgers and the Cardinals and the Braves in the NL. And this was awesome. It was exciting. It was great drama. One and done. It's great for the baseball playoffs. Sure. Great drama. It's all on the line. Wild card game is fun. But doesn't something feel wrong that the Brewers are out after the whole season? You play all this for one game? Shouldn't it be a best of three? Wouldn't the wild card be almost equally as entertaining if there was a game two, Brewers and Nationals coming up? Wouldn't it be cool if they shortened the baseball season and extended the playoffs? Instead of 162 games, they made it more like a 140-game schedule and maybe elongated the playoffs just a little bit. So you could have a three-game series and maybe not end in November. That's what I would do if you're asking my thoughts about the baseball world. And by the way, if they had shortened the playoffs to 140 games, Cubs would have made the playoffs. Wouldn't have lost 9 in a row and Joe Maddon would have been fired. I'm going to have some Cub thoughts coming up here after midnight. Play some audio from Theo Epstein. I was at the press conference yesterday. So that was just kind of upsetting. But I did want to... Two things. Number one, before I get to this beverage cart that was out of control at O'Hare Airport, there's a story out today. Pepsi admits that Aquafina bottled water is just tap water. So the Aquafina water that was on that beverage cart at O'Hare today wasn't from some spring. It wasn't purified. It wasn't whatever they do with bottled water. It was just tap water. The article reads, in a shocking reveal, the Pepsi Corporation admitted that its Aquafina bottled water is not purified water or spring water, but simply plain old tap water. I don't know how many bottles of Aquafina I've drunk in my life, but it's a lot.
How do you feel about that?
The company will now be forced to change the labeling of the brand to reflect that it's just tap water. Shouldn't they have to do a little bit more than that? They've been pouring tap water out in their sink and putting it in a bottle and packaging it and sending it out to what is? Are you kidding? Many informed customers choose bottled water because they're concerned about the quality of tap water, which is many times riddled with fluoride pharmaceuticals. Sadly, we're now learning that in many cases, bottled water is actually not any better than tap water, which, by the way, that has been my philosophy since the beginning of bottled water. That water that's sitting in that nasty plastic that's coming across the wherever it is, the continent, however it's getting to you and showing up at your 7-Eleven or your grocery store, don't tell me that that's better water than the water that comes right out of my tap that I put in my Brita and that I drink and it tastes delicious. I don't buy that the 79-cent huge liter of water is some healthier brand of water. And now we're getting proof that Pepsi, one of the wealthiest companies in the, you know, across the land, was taking regular water, putting it in a bottle. It's Aquafina. I mean, I go into the fridge here at WGN. You open up the fridge. There it is. Fiji water.
Mm-hmm.
Fiji
mm-hmm.
water. 312-981-7200. Where do you think Fiji water comes from? You think they shipped it over here from Fiji? I think they
no.
I think they turned on the tap at Lake Michigan, put it in a cute little bottle, slapped a nice labeling on there, little blue, little pink, little orange. Fiji water, the most purified water. I don't buy any of it.
You don't believe that it comes down from a splash mountain?
No,
or
I don't.
From a volcano
I
streaming
don't.
Across the side?
Spring water.
Ice. Mermaids bathe in it?
I let's see here. PepsiCo representative Michelle Naughton said in a statement, quote, "If this helps clarify the fact that the water originates from public sources, then it's a reasonable thing to do." Yeah, it's a reasonable thing to do there, Naughton. We need some little honesty in what we're getting, in what we're paying for. The Corporate Accountability Group is now looking into Coca-Cola's Dasani bottled water for false advertisement. Pepsi's doing the Aquafina.
Mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola's doing the Dasani.
Yep.
I can't tell the difference between any of it. And by the way, all these bottles of plastic water are showing up in the ocean. It's all BS. It is all below board, man.
Mm-hmm. And Dasani is the bottom of the barrel, I think, as far as bottled water goes. Something about it. It tastes like too bubbly or something.
I don't know. As we reported last year, major water supplier Niagara Bottling announced that one of their springs was contaminated by E. coli,
ugh,
causing many leading bottled water companies to recall their products. The bottled water thing drives me nuts. I think it's the biggest waste of money of all time.
Do you remember when it first started? When there was news reports being like, is bottled water is going to be the new thing? What about the drinking fountains we have at the park? Are those
right.
going to go away?
Why would anybody ever pay for bottled water? Why
yeah.
We go out and we pay for it. Bottled or tap, 312-981-7200. I know what's going on out here. That's nothing new. Always read the source on the back in the text line. Bobby D's texting, did you know that Iron Mountain bottled water is from the Muskegon River in Michigan? Right. Some Iron Mountain. It's from a river in Michigan. I did not know that, Bobby D, but I believe you.
So there's another thing about Fiji water. In fact, there's an NPR report that came out in about 2010 where they did an introspective look at it. And it's funny because they're interviewing this guy who comes from Fiji, I'm guessing. And he says, the remarkable thing is Fiji itself, 53% of the people who live in Fiji don't have access to clean, safe water. So Americans can easily get clean water from Fiji more simply than the people who live in Fiji.
Will you do me a huge... Well, I'll grab it at the break. I'm going to grab the Fiji water at the break and read what they write on Fiji water.
Of course.
I'll grab it. I don't want you going anywhere right now. 312-981-7200 is the text line and the phone line. I drink Ice Mountain. I don't care if it's from the mountains. It tastes good. Dasani is too bitter.
Totally agree. 815.
Alkaline bitter? Like there's batteries in it?
It tastes a little bit...
I think it tastes like there's like a flavor to it, which mm-hmm. which I'm definitely convinced is not good for you. Dasani adds sodium to the water to make you more thirsty.
I believe it.
Might as well buy a Coca-Cola. They're getting us, man. Okay.
We should have like we should come back another show and have like a bottled water test, like to see if we, you can tell.
I'm telling you just the tap's the way to go. I truly throw in a filter. Get yourself something to get it, whatever's out of there. That's how you should live your life. It's better for the world. You don't have the plastic everywhere. You save yourself money. It's not some fake thing that's got sodium or whatever else in it. Tap water. Public service announcement from Mark Harmon. Now, for the cart that spun out of control at O'Hare. If you missed this, do we have audio here, Michael Heidemann? All right, people were standing, waiting to board a plane, and they're looking out the window, and they see a beverage cart that's gone out of control.
And I hit the airplane. Here it goes. That's how you do it.
So that was the very end of it, because there was some swearing going on there that we did not want to get fired by playing. So, but this cart is spinning around. It was going to load up the plane, but I don't know what happened. It lost control, and there is this cart spinning around one time, two times, 10 times, 20 times, and people are just standing there watching it. The Tribune wrote it up. It took a seemingly possessed beverage cart with a stuck accelerator hitting the runway at O'Hare International, and they write about how Donald Trump is tweeting something positive. Donald saw the viral video.
What?
Did you know this?
No, I did not.
The Don was watching, and Donald posted on Twitter. He praised the employee's quick action with a comment, "Great job, just in time." See? He complains about our city. He does not like the liberal nature of Illinois. But the president of the United States was able to see a video at O'Hare and celebrate one of our fine workers here. Thank you, President Donald Trump. The Trump watched this video, man.
He got pleasure from it.
It's the first time he's praised the city, I think, since he came into office.
It is pretty remarkable. He does smash right into that runaway robot train, whatever you can call it.
I mean, the thing is spinning around and around and around. It's getting closer to the plane. These people are just standing there watching this beverage cart completely lose control. It's going to run them over. They don't move. I would have run off the runway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand people. I don't understand how you drink bottled water, and I don't understand how you stand there when the beverage cart's out of control and could run you over.
I do have some. I did find some other audio if you wanted to hear it.
Oh, okay, sure. Go ahead.
And I hit the airplane. Here it goes. That's how you do it.
So what happened at the end? If you missed it, some guy drives in with another cart and crashes into the beverage cart and disables it, knocks it over. Video's been viewed 15 million times.
Wow. That's amazing how fast it spreads.
Right, liked more than 200,000 times, shared another 51,000. This was at 9 o'clock, so maybe all those numbers have doubled. American Airlines is issuing a statement. Quote, preliminary reports indicate that the accelerator became stuck and caused the catering cart to lose control. No American Airlines team members were injured. They weren't injured because this other dude came in there and cracked into the cart. All these people were just standing there. They're about to take one for the team. We appreciate the quick action of our team member who stopped the vehicle. Safety is our top priority, and we were working with our partners to investigate the incident, American Airlines said. I don't know exactly what went wrong there, how that happens. Was somebody driving the cart? That's what I don't know. Okay, the accelerator got stopped. Wasn't there somebody running around on? Wasn't somebody directing this thing, or was it all computerized? I can't wait to get into computerized Uber. Jump in. Hi, how are you? Nothing. Well, maybe they'll actually talk to you in like Siri voice. Welcome to your Uber. We are now headed to the Willis Tower. I mean, is that what it's going to be?
Buckle up, please.
We are now going to the United Center. The Blackhawks are playing the St. Louis Blues. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock.
Oh, they're giving you sports recaps and stuff, too, during it? It's great.
We are leaving here at 6:28. Estimated arrival time is 6:52. You'll have 8 minutes to get into your seat, get a beer, and see the puck drop. By the way, you may miss the national anthem. Richard, what's going on there, Richard? Welcome to WGN. Did you see the viral video? Did you see the beverage cart?
Yes, I did. I've watched it a few times, and I think they're like a golf cart. Step on the accelerator, and it goes in one direction, or step on it sideways, and it goes the other way. I think that's how it took off. But if you look at the video real close, there's one guy in an orange vest. Everybody else is in the lime green,
yeah,
you know, safety vest.
Right.
It looks like he was knocked down by the door. Because you see, if you watch it, at the very beginning, it looks like somebody's picking him up off the ground, and then he falls down again.
All right, hang on a second.
So I think it did get somebody.
I'm watching it again. Oh, yeah, no, he was dragging someone back. You're right. You're absolutely right. Somebody did get hurt.
I think the guy in the orange vest, or the orange or red, whatever color it is, tried to stop it and got hit, and I think that's why everybody jumped back.
Well, but then the guys in the green are just trying to step up on the thing like they're going to block it from hitting the plane. You're not getting in front of that beverage cart, man. And then the other guy comes in with the, I think that was the luggage carrier. I don't even know what that thing was, but it knocks it over.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean.
Truly.
And you look how fast it's going because the wheels are off the ground. I mean, it was on the verge of flipping over anyway. And it looks like the guy waited until he got the right timing to get it, you know. Get enough lift on it. So,
Rich, how do you know all this stuff? Are you a vehicle operator yourself?
No, I drive a truck, and I used to be a heavy equipment operator in the Army. So,
okay. So, why did this happen in your estimation?
It looks like it's a golf cart style truck. I mean, I've seen them at airports before. You know, on a golf cart, you just step on the pedal and it goes.
Yeah.
It looks like where they say a case of water fell on the accelerator pedal. Well, that'd be the only way it'd work because...
Don't you need somebody driving the vehicle?
No. If you've ever been on a golf course?
Yeah, I drive my golf cart here, Rich.
Yeah, when you take your foot off the, quote, accelerator, it stops. And unless you lock the brakes, as soon as you step on the pedal again, it'll take off.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that it was just locked in. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't locked in park, I guess you'd say.
All right.
The parking brake wasn't applied, is what it looks like to me.
All right, fair enough.
My
mechanical talents are coming under scrutiny right now.
Well, I mean, when you play golf, you just step on the accelerator, right? And it takes off.
Right, but when somebody's not in the car... And we're going around in circles here. But if,
yeah, I mean, if something's stuck to the, if something's holding the accelerator down, it's going to keep going.
Right. Okay.
You know, like if you were outside your golf cart and you took your golf club and pushed down on the pedal, it'd take off.
That's
for
true.
As long as you could hold it down.
Somebody was doing something playing around with that thing, is what I'm saying here, Rich.
Yeah, or could be just a super freak accident, but.
I guess.
You know, to play around $1 million airplane or a multi-million dollar airplane, you know, that's pretty wild.
Yeah,
you know.
Appreciate the call, Rich. But, thanks for checking in, man.
Have a good evening.
You got it. Patrick, let me get you in here before I got to take a timeout. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm on board with Rich, kind of a little, but he's missing the fact, like he didn't amplify that on a golf cart. If there's any angle to the pavement, not all golf carts are the same. So some of them, if there's an angle, which it probably is on the tarmac to keep water away from running under the building. So if the guy didn't hit that parking brake like he was talking on a golf cart, if you don't do it on a golf cart and you leave it on a little bit of an angle, that thing will start rolling away. And if there's nobody, doesn't need anybody to be holding the pedal. Once it starts going, that's perpetual motion. That thing's going to sit there and keep going because it's a normal. But it sounds like there was something stuck on the accelerator. I do not think it was a case of water. A case of water would have pulled itself off and they're going that fast.
Right.
So I think, like you said, I don't think anybody was playing around. I think the guy came up, hopped out like you do at a golf course. Sometimes, you know, you're ready to go for the next hole. Sometimes you get out, you forget to put this parking brake on. Let it go roll to a stop, you know, because some of them have that automatic brake where, especially if it's a little bit, if it's flat, if you let off, like he was saying, you let off the accelerator and it slows down and stops.
That actually makes sense. You were rolling it on up there, you jumped out,
Yeah, you're like, hey, what's up, man? Trying to make that cool exit. And
right.
He didn't check. He didn't put that parking brake on. And the thing might have just kept going. And again, those things come, I don't know if you know, I've been on multiple golf courses, so there's multiple. I've been on some that have electric motors, you know, and like you let out the gas and it stops itself. And the parking brake is just there for inclines. You know, otherwise that it's a motor and it's not going anywhere until it gets power to it.
Yeah.
And then I've been on ones that you have to have that choke that's right underneath your butt, right underneath your calf, you know, and you have to pull the choke when the cart's cold, you know, and those things are like basically a little golf cart or not a go-kart. So that motor can easily, I could see that thing definitely getting stuck, you know. Again, those things get beat to poop. I've been down there. I used to do refrigeration on their x-ray machines. And
you worked at the airport?
Yes, in both Midway and O'Hare. And, yeah, those guys beat the crap out of those carts.
Yeah, I bet they do.
You know, again, it's not their cart.
Right, so, of course, you know, not. Of course.
You know, unless they report something sticking, if it's just starting to happen, they didn't really notice it. You know, yeah, that's easily. But the guy that did it with the, I want to say it was the luggage ramp thing, was genius because he did hit it at the perfect time. And it was so close to hitting that plane.
It was going to hit the plane.
Yeah, and it looked like the guys were trying to get in there, but somebody actually realized, no. Like he said, I didn't see the guy get hit, but they just said, hey, back up. This thing's got, you know, it's got too much momentum. You ain't getting in there, you know. So, yeah, I think it was like he said, a little bit of Joe being cool and a little bit of a sticky throttle and not a parking brake being applied.
Good analysis, Patrick. Appreciate your call, man.
Have a good Take care, buddy.
Thanks, man. Wild scene. If you missed the video, it's worth checking out online. That thing was going to crack into the plane. And if you were, it was going to hit the front of the plane. Can you imagine if your pilot just sitting there getting ready to fly off to California or wherever, and now you're getting attacked by a beverage cart because some dude probably jumped out of there quickly and was off to his next task at the airport, spinning around. Way to go, Chicago, and thank you, President Donald Trump, for seeing us and seeing the amazing, supportive luggage dude who came in there and saved the day. This is a win for the city. We are going to learn from it. We're going to move forward. And that's all I have to say about that. 720 WGN. 1205, good morning. Mark Carmen with you on WGN. Well, nightside action until 1 o'clock. Nick DiGilio is warming up in the bullpen. As I did see Nick in his studio getting ready to rock and roll coming up at the top of the hour. All right. So yesterday I was sent out to Wrigley Field to cover the Theo Epstein end of season press conference. Now, first of all, this was Rosh Hashanah. And I, as a Jewish gentleman, was perhaps not completely following the Jewish traditions of the day, and I was spending time working. Now, I went to temple in the morning, had a wonderful service, cried my eyes out at least two or three times, potent sermon, all that, did some good singing, kissed the old Torah, all of that. But, you know, when WGN sports god Dave Enick calls and asks me to cover the Theo Epstein presser, the answer is always going to be yes. So I get in there. We got dinner at 5. It's in the suburbs. It's a 40-minute drive. Maybe an hour. Don't know on traffic. I'm thinking Theo's going to talk for a half hour, 45 minutes. An hour and 20 minutes. And I'm like, hey, I got to go. We got Rosh Hashanah dinner. But you can't. Was I going to be the one person that's going to walk out of the press conference and open the door? See you later, Theo. Not completely on board with this Joe Madden firing thing, but have a great offseason. I'll hopefully see you perhaps in spring training. It's at the Carm on Twitter. Have a good one. So I was stuck in there. I'm like, would you please just can you wrap it up? But that's a little side story. Now Theo, you know, he kept on talking about how Joe Madden's a Hall of Fame manager and he's going to go on to do great things and there's going to be a bidding war for him, and that's exactly what's happening. And apparently the Los Angeles Angels are going to make Madden their new manager sooner than later. They fired Brad Ausmus, who had been there for all of 1 year, similar to what the Cubs, actually the same as what the Cubs did with Ricky Renteria. He came here, was was here for a year. Cubs saw an opportunity to get Maddon. No disrespect to Ricky. He's doing a great job with the White Sox, obviously. But they wanted Joe Maddon, so they moved him on after 1 year. And that's what the Angels are going to do now with Brad Ausmus. And the Cubs are looking for a manager. They're naming David Ross, which, by the way, you can check out my podcast, On the Mark, with yours truly, Mark Carmen. And David Ross, I talked to him over a week ago. ESPN is now putting all these things out that Ross wants to be the manager. On the Mark had it first, man. That dude told me flat out, we played it on this show, that he is very interested in managing the Chicago Cubs. And Theo addressed it that, you know, they're going to talk to Rossi and Mark Loretta and Will Venable, who was the first base coach this year, as well as some other candidates. Okay, we'll see what they do. But I thought the most interesting thing from the press conference was when Theo started talking about Javi Baez and Chris Bryant. Those are two guys that everybody loves, right? You're huge fans of Baez, you're huge fans of Chris Bryant. Well, they're both going to get a ton of money, and they both have 2 years left on their contract. And the Cubs need a lot of help. So how are they going to get it? It ain't going to be by trading end-of-the-bench guys like Albert Almora. They're going to have to make a major move. So what's the plan here with Baez and Bryant? Are they both going to be here, Theo?
I look at both those guys as incredible players who are huge parts of what we have going on here, and they happen to both have 2 years of control left, so they're both guys we've had some level of discussion with in the past about trying to find an arrangement that can keep them Cubs longer, and we'll probably, you know, get around to doing that again.
Get around to doing that again. The conversation part. Right? That doesn't mean they're going to sign him. We'll get around to having that conversation again. We've approached them before. Hey, do you want to stay here? And both of them have balked. Nah, I'm not going to sign for that. Nah, I'd rather play it out. I appreciate it. Thanks for talking to me, but no, I'm not going to do it. And then he expanded on a little bit more.
I look at them both the same, that they're fantastic players. I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I think they're both hugely important, and it'd be hard to see them out of a Cubs uniform, but we're at a transition point, and we have to do whatever's best for the Cubs. I hope it includes both those guys.
Did you hear that? I hope it includes both those guys, but we're at a transition point. We're going to go back to them. We're going to say, hey, Chris, here's more money than you could ever spend in your lifetime that your grandkids can spend. Do you want to be a Cub, or do you want to hold out for the absolute last dollar that you're probably going to be able to get it when you're a free agent in 2 years? Sign on the dotted line, stay here, play your career out in Chicago. Same thing with you, Javi. Simple question, by the way, 312-981-7200. If you had to lose one of the two between Javi and Chris Bryant, who are you picking? I'll even throw Wilson Contreras in there. Javi, Bryant, Contreras. You can't pay all of them. Who you letting walk out the door? And don't tell me Kyle Schwarber, because that's not the same level. Javi Baez, KB. By the way, why do you need a new manager?
If I could go back and do it again, obviously anyone in this room would go and hire Joe Maddon again. And now we need the perfect guy for this moment in time, for this group, for where they are in their careers, for their skills and their habits, and there's a unique challenge at this moment in time.
So you loved Maddon then, but he's not good for now. He was awesome to motivate the team in 2015 and 2016, and you were hoping in 2017. Didn't work out to their liking, even though they went to the National League Championship Series. But they're not listening to him anymore. Who's going to be the next manager?
We have an open mind. I think, you know, you always learn a lot when you have an opportunity to do a managerial search. It's manager of the Cubs is such an esteemed position. You should have access to just about anyone in the industry you want to talk to.
Yeah, that's true. They are going to have an endless supply of options. I hope they take a real strong, good, hard look at Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi, Northwestern Wildcat, Chicago Cub, 10-year manager of the New York Yankees, had a ton of success. They want somebody who will come in there and, I guess, light a fire under the team. Hold them accountable in ways that they have not been held accountable. that's not going to care that they won a World Series in 2016. Irrelevant at this point. We're trying to move it forward. Well, Joe Girardi won a lot in New York. They kept on moving it forward. To me, he's the perfect candidate. David Ross is adorable. Loved having him on the podcast. Appreciate the fact that he wants the job. But he's never managed before. Whoa! 312-981-7200. Am I seeing this correctly? Kathy, you want to get rid of both Baez and Bryant? Are you a White Sox fan?
No. I might become one, though, after this last two seasons. I need to see the demographic marketing information on Baez because I think clearly I'm not his demographic, but there are fans that love him, so I'd have to see that number. But when you look at his error rate, 71, I looked up, 71 errors since he's been a Cub, 675 strikeouts. That's not acceptable, and it's a team sport. And I think with Javi, it's about Javi, right? And then, you know, I hated it when Butterfield at third base would tell him, don't run, because obviously he can see the field better than Javi can, and he runs home and gets out. So that was annoying. And then Bryant, the times I've been there to watch him play, he looks like he's just not even paying attention. I was sitting by the third base, and, you know, he's just not there. So I'm not sure what's happening with him. I think that'll be a question that we'll find out maybe later. But, you know, I think you could trade both.
Kathy, that's aggressive. I personally don't want to see that happen, but I just got a couple of questions for you. Chris Bryant, did he win the Rookie of the Year? Was he not an MVP? Didn't he win a World Series? Wasn't he?
Yeah, but that's
all.
What have you done for me lately?
Okay. All right. Well, what have you done for me lately? What has he? What? How many home runs did Chris Bryant hit this year, Kathy?
I don't have that stat for you. Do you have it?
I do. You want to guess?
What is it? 30.
Well, what happens if is 30 a good number? Chris Bryant this year was second on the team with 31 homers. He drove in 77 runs. He slugged. His OPS was .903, which is excellent. His batting average was .282. People don't care about batting average anymore, but that's pretty damn good. His on-base percentage was .382. He plays third. He plays left. He plays right. He could play first.
Well, the position playing, that was Madden. I don't believe players should be moving around like that. That just doesn't make any sense to me, but maybe that's the new way to do it. I would just say that, you know, you need to see what his value is on the open market and then take a look at what you need to succeed. I think a lot of fans feel we need pitching, and if that gets you better pitching, so be it.
Is there anyone on the team that you're married to, Kathy, that you would shed a tear if they walked out the door?
Oh my God, this is like when Stan Bowman blew up the Blackhawks. It is hard, right?
Not for you. You're willing to see Bryan and Baez leave. I'm wondering if there's anybody that you care about.
I like my two Kyles, Kyle Hendricks and Kyle Schwarber. Nico Horner looks really fascinating to me. I'd like to see him play more. And then remember Albert Alzine? I don't know if I'm saying his last name.
Yeah.
What happened to him, man? He stood up to the limelight, no problem.
He had one good game. Kathy. Albert Alzolay had one good game. One.
Well, where did he go?
He went to the minors where he belonged. Okay.
All right, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a lot of fun talking about it over the winter season.
Yeah,
thanks, Carm.
You're welcome, Kathy. Bye. Thanks for calling. 312-981-7200. I'm married to Kyle Hendricks, whose velocity came down and he's barely touching 87 miles an hour. Kyle Schwarber was a butcher in the outfield and miraculously hit .250 this year. I mean, I don't want to trade Schwarber either, but just willing to get rid of Bryant and Baez, really? If they do that, it'll hurt. They might have to. I get it. You got to move forward. By the way, Theo, love that guy, Nicky Castellanos.
I love everything about Nick Castellanos. I mean, what a job he did. I don't think you can ask more of a in-season trade acquisition than what he did. Is the production, the consistency, the dynamic at-bats that he had.
And they'd love to keep him, but they don't have the money because Theo's made some bad signings. And yes, he knows where they really need help.
Center field and second base were the two positions where, you know, we had the least production this year. We had the most trouble. We do have in-house options, but being transparent, of course, it's an area where you look to upgrade and see if you can get the total package with the prototypical center fielder who can also lead off.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. They need all that. I'll tell you one thing. Joe Maddon is he's on the Mount Rushmore of Chicago coaches. Maddon for the Cubs, Ozzie for the White Sox, Quenville for the Blackhawks, Phil Jackson for the Bulls, and Mike Ditka. Those are the five, right? And I know Mount Rushmore, there's only four, but I'm going to make the Chicago five. Let's go to the starting five. There is nobody else that's even close to on the list. And one more thing about Maddon. 1984, Jim Frey was the manager of the Cubs. They were up 2-0 in the San Diego Padres. He did not pitch Rick Sutcliffe in Game 4 because he was holding him out for the World Series that they never made it to. Idiot. 2003, Cubs are up 3-1, one win away from the World Series. Ball goes down the left field line after Mark Pryor was overpitched in Game 2. Steve Bartman runs into it. What happens after the game? Dusty Baker blames Steve Bartman. He later apologized, but he blamed him that night. I don't know if that guy's a Cub fan. Couldn't have been a Cub fan. Team walks into Game 7. If you're in Wrigley Field that night, it was a morgue. You knew before the game they were going to lose. And they did. Joe Maddon comes in here. You're down 2-1 in the NLCS to the Dodgers. You're down 2-1. Win 3 in a row, win the series, go to the World Series. You're in the World Series. You're down 3-1. The Cubs lose that series every single time. 10 times over they lose that series. Joe Maddon, Mr. Positive, anything's possible. Guys are loose. Win game 5 at home. Go on the road. Blow them out in game 6. And then even in game 7, as badly as he screwed up and the way he managed that game, taking Hendricks out early and Chapman was overworked and all that stuff, they still had a positive mindset after that rain delay to come out there and do it, which was the most anti-Cub thing of all time. But now, no longer the guy. How does he not have a lifetime deal? I don't get it. Joe, you want to be here for 20 years? You're good. I am buying Joe Maddon. And I'm not saying he's even been perfect and that he hasn't made mistakes. He's made mistakes, but I'm not firing him. And Theo has made mistakes. I'm not firing him either. You guys were the ones that did it. But now you've hit a rough patch and you just want to get rid of him. Where is the loyalty in life? That's what I'm saying. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll move on, but I just felt like with the baseball season ending and Theo talking and one of the legends in Chicago sports history from a coaching managing standpoint, I rarely do the sports on the regular show, but I just wanted to get that one out there. Appreciate you listening. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Congratulations, by the way, to our friend Mark Gian Greco, who got a contract extension at good old Channel 7. I'm thinking about when I, you know, was a young lad trying to get into the business and looking up to the sports guys, and Mark Gian Greco would come out to, they would do Focus on the Arts at Highland Park High School. And everybody would want to see Gian Greco, and he would speak to the young aspiring broadcasters and talk about how cool TV was. I was intimidated by Gian Greco then. I'm probably intimidated by him now. But I did go and see, back in the day, a one Dave Ennett, who was, I think, at the time might have been even working for I want to say might have been up the dial at WBBM. He had gone back from BBM to WGN. Maybe it was at GN. Regardless, I went and saw Dave, and I was so impressed by Dave, and I wanted to be Dave, and I wrote him a letter in high school, and I said, Dave, my name is Mark Harmon. I want to be a broadcaster. I want to be in sports. Would you be willing to meet with me and give me some advice? And Dave wrote me back and invited me down. Come learn about the business.
Wow.
Yeah, I never followed through. But he did, man. Dave opened the door. Hey, real quick, Joe, you're a Cardinals fan. You want to tell the Cubs what to do? I don't know about this, Joe, but I'll let you do it. Go ahead.
I will not tell any Cubs fans what to do. But the thing that you said with regards to Girardi, I completely agree with. Let me start by saying that. Yeah, absolutely. The team had seemed really too loose under Madden, and that's his reputation, and that's been fantastic. It worked. It got you guys a world championship. Beautiful thing. But then it didn't gel over the past number of years. They need to get a little bit more structure back. Girardi would provide that, but Girardi's not a yes man to Theo Epstein, and that's why Madden's not going to be there anymore.
I disagree with that part, Joe. I don't think I don't think Theo's looking for a yes man. He wouldn't have hired Joe Madden in the first place if he wanted a yes man. I think he is absolutely looking for the discipline that you're talking about, which is why, to me, Girardi would be a very attractive candidate. That if that dude walks into the dugout, you got to give him respect. I don't know if anybody else that they're talking to would command the same that Girardi would. Maybe he wouldn't do things quite the same as the Cubs would want. But I think the Cubs are open to having a manager who they don't agree with everything that he does. That's my take.
We're on the same page. It sounds like.
Yep, we are.
But the thing is, it seems like that. This is my impression, is that Epstein wants to really control the bench and control who's going to be put in, and Rossi will do that. Rossi's a great guy. He's a solid, totally solid guy. I mean, as a baseball fan, love the dude. He'll do what Epstein wants him to do. I can't picture Girardi wanting to completely follow that. He wants to be in control. Am I wrong on that?
I think it's overstated. I don't think they're looking for a puppet in there. Maybe I'm too naive, but that's what they say when they're asked it. They want to have actual conversation. I'm sure they think that they're smarter than a lot of managers, and that managers in general are perhaps not as brilliant as front office people. Maybe they have that judgment. But I do think they also want to have a healthy discourse. And I would hire David Ross to be the manager of my baseball team all day long.
I would too.
But it's a little bit awkward for the Cubs. You're having to manage a team that he played with. He might have his favorites. I just think it's a little tricky. I don't think he's the right guy for the Cubs. If it was the Cardinals or whoever, I'd hire David Ross. But in the Cubs' case, I think Girardi's a better fit.
Girardi is a solid individual, and he would be my first pick as well.
Yeah,
for sure. Ross is a solid pick as well, but I if it came down between those two, I'd be Girardi all the way. And with regards to the Bryant Baez discussion from earlier,
yeah,
I'm really worried about Bryant from a health standpoint versus a Baez. So the gal who earlier called said ditch them both. She's crazy, if you ask me, too. I would be more leaning towards Bryant. Bryant scares me from a potential injury standpoint. There's been that history. Yes, he's been fantastic in the past. But
I got you, Joe. I'm up against the news here. Sorry to snip you, but I got to get to news, and thank you for the call. I'll respond coming up after the news here. 12:30, let's get that news. 12:35, taking you up to the top of the hour. Nick D warming up in the bullpen. He'll have you for your overnight. Carmen, Madden told Theo this would be his last season. Madden is a builder, not a maintenance man. He wants a challenge. I agree with you. Girardi is the best guy out there. Brian from Savannah. Brian from Savannah. You really think that Joe Madden built a restaurant at Waveland and Clark because he wanted to be out here after one after this year? This was not the plan. This was not the plan at all. I think Joe thought he'd be here for 10 years. He won the World Series. How do you fire that guy? But they did. I don't think he wanted out. I think he realized that the end, that it was probably time to move on, but I don't think he wanted out. I say it was a money move firing Joe. Next manager will be a low-level pay. Cubs aren't cheap. Second highest payroll in all of baseball. Ben Zobrist leaves the team because he's having a bitter divorce. Money's freed up. They don't pocket the dough. They go out and they sign a bust closer in Craig Kimbrell, which was a risky play, but whatever. They needed a closer, so they rolled the dice. They'll pay the manager. This was not a money thing. If the Cubs were winning, the Cubs were still playing tonight, if they hadn't gotten eliminated like the Milwaukee Brewers did tonight, if they were headed to the NLCS, whatever, they would have extended Madden all day. They probably would have given him a raise. I don't think you can ever, you cannot point at Ricketts and the Ricketts family, and you can say a lot of things, but calling them cheap, that ain't going to work. Now, do they perhaps, I don't know. Is the TV thing going to work out? We'll see. We'll see. It probably will. They'll probably make a whole bunch more dough. All right, let's move on from the baseball. I actually want to give a shout-out to some kids that are doing things the right way. You ever heard of Grinnell College there, Michael Heidemann?
I have not.
Grinnell College, Division III, in the beautiful state of Iowa. I bet we have some Grinnell listeners texting in right now. Feel free, or listening right now. You can text in 312-981-7200 if you went to Grinnell. Grinnell has a football team, or they did. The Grinnell Pioneers. Unfortunately, the 2019 football team is no longer. They are forfeiting their remaining seven games. Now, why? Well, they lost their first three games by a combined score of 114-3. 114-3 in three games, which means they got a field goal in one game. It was a miracle, and they got shut out in the other two. That's the only way that math works. There's no 1 point for anything, and if they got a safety, it wouldn't come out to three. So they had one field goal, two shutouts, 114-3. Worse than that, 11 players on the 39-player roster, 11 of them have gotten injured, beaten up, taken out, taken down. So the team's down to 28 players. You need 11 a side in football. So that's 22, offense and defense. We got six backups, kickers, punters, whatnot. The roster has been depleted. So Grinnell has effectively waved the white towel and are forfeiting the last seven games of the year. Do we have any sad music that we can play for Grinnell College? Can we play Taps?
We do need some sad music.
I mean, I've never heard of this. A team that started the year is not going to finish the year because they got beat up, blasted, and taken down. 114-3. 39 players, now 28. I want to remind Grinnell of something. Message from At the Carm, 1240 at night. 720 WGN. I know we're blazing across Iowa right now. Driving on 80 West, headed to Colorado. You can probably see Grinnell out in the distance. You're coming 80 East. You're coming to Chicago. Maybe you're headed here from Nebraska. You're about to pass Grinnell. It's not how many times you get knocked down in life. It's how quickly you get back up. Unfortunately for Grinnell, the football team, they're not going to get up this year. They're going to stay down for the final seven games. And that sucks. And it's painful. And it's not what Pioneers football is all about. But Pioneers football will rise again. 2020. Training camp will come around. It'll be August. Team will be recovered. And I want the Grinnell Pioneers football team to look each other in the eye and realize that the past is the past and the future is the future. And the present is a gift. And it is a gift to be a part of the Grinnell Pioneers football team. Cheers to 2020, guys. Story broke my heart, man. I see you, Grinnell. Whew. I need a break here, man. That was challenging.
It was emotional, man. You know, you should do this for a living. Just give emotional, just pump up speeches to colleges and high schools.
Pioneers, man. You know, they started the season. They had big dreams. It just didn't work out.
I have thoughts on this.
You do?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I do have thoughts on this.
What are your thoughts?
First of all, what are these injuries? I'm not saying that they're probably not in pain, but what are these injuries?
Gruesome football injuries, Michael Heidemann.
Okay, we've all seen gruesome football injuries, but the entire team. I feel like this is a team that maybe is a little bit of a. I've never met any of these guys.
You're saying that the Grinnell football team is soft and they're mailing it in.
I think so. With those kind of scores, I think they might be mailing it in just a little bit.
You think that there's no backbone in Pioneers football and they're faking it?
You know, I
wow.
I'm making a bold statement.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, there's a time. I remember when I was in football back at Marion Central on the Hurricane team, the Hurricanes.
And you mailed it in?
I never mailed it in. Never. Defensive end. Sat on the bench sometimes. Most times.
You were defensive end?
Yeah, I was quick. Yeah.
Don't you have to be strong to be a defensive end?
I was strong in high school. Not so much now, I suppose. Yeah, I had quick
You're
hands.
Such a nice guy. You can't sack the quarterback.
You put me on the field, I'm a whole different person.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I always thought this about you, Heidemann.
Yeah.
You've got this really calm, smiling demeanor, but deep down underneath there, I knew there was something happening. And now you're coming clean. You were a football player. I knew it.
Yes, it's true. I have the heart of a lion when it comes to the field. Yeah. I love being athletic and getting into competition.
That's awesome.
But I remember on the field, we had this coach, and it was Coach Stanger and Coach I can't remember his name, but I remember Coach Stanger, and it was one guy who was a Navy SEAL, and a lot of people who were just old cornbread football playing, loving Illinoisians.
We were the weirdos at our high school. When she answered the phone,
where is that coming from?
Morning, yeah. It is after 16
a.m. I don't know what's going on. Go ahead.
You watching a TikTok at that moment?
No.
Okay, back to hurricane football, though. Was that might have been a scene from Freaks and Geeks.
I think I know what happened there, and it was most definitely my fault, so I apologize.
It's okay, but I remember on the field, when you're playing football in high school especially, that's when you're learning to be the person you are going to be one day, and some guy broke his jaw a game, and it was like shattered, and he could barely talk, and I remember a coach said, "Son, get out on that field. Get out." He goes, "Coach, my jaw is broke." And he's like, "Well, there's not going to be any talking on the field, is there?" Put on his helmet, and he got in there.
See, okay. Mm-hmm. That's your message for Grinnell football.
Come on, Grinnell. You can do this.
Just listen, enough with the 114-3, right. Enough with the 11 guys hurt. And even if there are 11 guys hurt, there's 28 of you left.
Exactly.
And by the way, you only need 11. I don't need any more than 11. You guys You can play offense and defense.
Right. Well, you're young guys.
Where's the heart? Where's the will to compete?
Mm-hmm. Come on, Grinnell.
Exactly. Okay. You just kind of flipped the page there, Heidemann.
I feel like, because I think that people are getting a little bit too soft. I mean, they're trying to take away football from a lot of schools. So, and that was the most important thing that I did was in high school, get on a sports team and learn to play and get roughed up and get hit around, because then, you know, when you grow up, that's when your bones are soft and they can get hit. Because when you're old, I'm not going to be playing football anytime soon.
But it makes you tougher, right?
Yes, it does.
Right? You can handle a little more adversity.
Put on those two-a-days, drink no water, great summer heat. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. You know who's tougher than the Grinnell football team?
Who?
That lunatic woman at the Bronx Zoo. Did you see her?
No.
The Bronx Zoo in beautiful New York City, I believe that's where the Bronx is, she trespassed into the lion enclosure. And she, did you see this? You didn't see this?
I'm looking it up right now. She
jumped over the barricade, the barrier, and there's a moat there where the lion's on the other side. And she waved at the lion, who just was staring at her like, lady, what are you doing? Apparently there's audio of this, Michael. You found audio?
She is face-to-face with this lion, waving in his leaf bush.
Right, she's just waving at him. And everyone's like, I don't know what. If she was on drugs, or if she just...
Now she's dancing in front of the lion. It's been like taunting him.
And the lion is just looking at her, right? Like,
just staring at her.
Are you out of your mind? I'm a lion. Don't come into my den. But it was a very peaceful lion. Like, was confused as to... Look, I know I'm not supposed to eat you. I'm in a zoo. I'm in jail. I'm in lion jail. I'm just trying to have a day here. I'm hanging out. I'm taking a nap. I got nothing to do. Now you want to come in here and be in my lion's den? But and nothing happened to her. And she's just waving at the lion.
Yeah.
That woman is tougher than Grinnell College's football team, is my point.
Well, she has some guts. I don't know.
You said lion, and it made me think of that story.
She's literally in front of this lion, waving and dancing in front of him.
Right. That lion could be in her face in 1 second, and your life is over.
Yeah.
You're done.
And the thing is,
goodnight.
She looked like she was there by herself, too. Who knows?
It weirds me out in zoos in general that it just seems to me like the animals can get out without any problem. And we're just, you know, like, you tell me that giraffe's not going to come spiraling at me? You know, the neck is well over the thing. We're all good here.
There's still stories about how like bears escape from the zoo and they like run down the side of the highway,
right?
And everything. This is a real thing.
You tell me they can't climb out of there. If I was a bear, I'd think, you know, maybe there is a better life than this.
Yeah.
Prison that I'm in this zoo. And I know that the zoos take great care of the animals, but I'm sorry, if I was an animal, I wouldn't want to be in a zoo. If I was a fish, I wouldn't want to be in an aquarium. That's just me. I don't know how they actually feel, but that my guess is that the zebra that's at the Lincoln Park Zoo, you know, he'd probably rather be in the wild.
Probably. You know, probably the only person who wouldn't be able to get out of that cage?
Who's that?
The Grinnell.
Yeah, they just lay down. Call it a day. Grinnell football. Come on, Grinnell football.
Let's do it.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.